are formed, and then the plant grows from that, and fruit is being born from that. So praise the Lord.
Yeah, just this morning I read a bit where it said you should make time to stop and pause and reflect on the goodness. So thank you for sharing. That is absolutely beautiful. We have been working through Proverbs, and I remembered a quote that I had read that said, if you tend to the way God has created you, you will see beautiful fruit. And that reminded me of your talk that you did last time we were here, where if you tend and invest in your marriage and the way God has created it to be and the way God has created us as moms and as wives, if you tend to that, there will be beautiful fruit. And the fruit or the blessing will be, yeah, the fruit that our children will reap from that. So I'm very honored to be introducing Amarinda today, who's also going to share with such beautiful wisdom, I think, of what a mom and a wife, a godly mom and a godly wife would look like. She is a mother of three sons, and I am in the throes of surviving two little terrorists, so it can be done. I will keep telling myself that. And it can be done with such grace. And the power of a praying mom. If I think of the stories I have heard of Amarinda and the way that she has prayed into her sons' lives, that is so inspiring and so, so beautiful. So thank you for the time you have taken to prepare. En welkom. Dis altyd so lekker. Back to due to popular demand. How do you say that? Yeah.
I think I just need it. Good morning, ladies. It's an absolute privilege to be here. To see your faces, and I'm just so excited about the season you are in at the moment. You are forming the next generation. Well, Mel asked me, and she only told me that you're busy with Proverbs. So if I'm repeating another sermon, I didn't get hold of anyone's notes. So maybe you just need to hear it again, because we are slow learners and sometimes we need things to be repeated to us. Okay, so I am a mom of three boys, grown-up boys. Two of them are married and the last one is getting married in November. So then I'm completely replaced. And it's going to happen to all of you. But for the moment, you've got these little ones in your life, and you are the most important thing in their lives. So enjoy the season. I know it's extremely hard, but sometimes, at some stage, you are going to be replaced. I've got a little two-year-old grandchild, and that's a completely new season in my life. I mean, I adore her. For one, the fact that she's a girl and she is just so different. I mean, it's like the boys you just need to keep alive. I mean, they just go. This one, she needs affirmation the whole time. She needs you to watch her and to see what's going on. It's absolutely amazing. I love her. She's the apple of my eye. But what I also realized in this, for the past 2 years, most of my lessons I've learned is from that little body. And not only from her, just being a granny. I love her, but I've got no say over her. It's a new thing. So I just want to remind you, you know, just give some space for your parents and your in-laws. They are also learning to be grannies, and yeah. It's not always easy. Yeah, where am I on my notes? Okay, so the other day I watched Layla for the whole day. I loved it. It was wonderful. It was very messy. And the end of the day, I had no more words. And my house was just a mess, just a complete mess. And it, I remember so many things about the boys. I remember that rainy days when they turned my lounge into a rugby field. And just the mess they made. I remember looking at them and thinking, I must be from another planet. I mean, how can you do these things? Now at least I've got some daughter-in-laws and I realize I'm actually normal. They are just different. They are just not the same. But I remember the times when I got so frustrated with the mess and the things. And today I can honestly say I think God healed me of that perfectionism, that fact that everything needs to be controlled. It's more important to have happy children than to have a perfect house. It's more important for them to be whole than to have a perfect whatever. There's many years still to come. For now, just enjoy them. Just be busy with what they are busy with. I've got a friend. We've been friends for many, many years. So what she did in the mess, when it was absolutely complete, she went to the hairdresser and she colored her hair. Or she got a funky hairstyle or she did it. And she told me that's the only thing that she's got control over. But it's not the truth. Actually, we don't have any control on the outside, but we do have a lot of control on the inside. That's the only thing that we have control over. I want to read to you Proverbs 4:23. Above all, guard your heart, for everything flows from it. Another translation, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. All those things that fill your mind holds the key to your reality. Your thoughts provide the fuel for your words, and your words provide the fuel for your word, for your world. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And I want to challenge you this morning with what's going on in your heart. Long time ago, I heard this story, Louis Malherbe, that was before all your time. He used to tell the story of this guy who had two dogs, a black one and a white one. And they actually, every Saturday, they fought and people bet on those dogs. It's a horrible story. I hope it's not the truth, but you'll get to the bottom line. So people bet on the dogs and then he kept on making money and they kept on losing money. And so one day they asked him, how do you do that? And he decided, okay, this is now the end of the road. He's just going to tell them. And he said, well, it's very easy. You look at the bets and then you decide which one you want and then you feed that one. And that's bottom line. What do you feed yourself with? Where do you get your info? What do you allow your mind to get stuck on? No one can control it, only you. And we can look at each other and we can think what's going on, but you don't know. From time to time, you hear horrible stories about people committing suicide. And you say, but we didn't know. We didn't know because we don't know. And ladies, control your thoughts. You are bombarded with so much information and so much stuff. You don't need that stuff. Control what's going on. You know, and in that place where we sometimes feel so overwhelmed with, I mean, these little ones, they make you tired. It's just a fact. We tend to start looking for someone to blame, someone to take responsibility, someone to help us. And usually we turn to our husbands because, I mean, they are actually the reason that we are in this situation. So we feel from time to time they need to take responsibility as well. They need to carry this load that you are carrying. But today I want to remind you that they can't. They can't. They don't have the capacity. I've got a good husband. Really, I do have. But I can see his capacity looking after Layla and my capacity to looking after Layla. Don't expect things from your husband that he can't do. God created him to be a hunter, to be focused, to go there, to have a goal, to do that. God created you to be a gatherer. You can cook and you can do the washing and you know exactly where every child is and what's going on in your house. God gave you the tools. Your husband needs to help, but don't put stuff on them. His responsibility is for identity. He must give your child identity, not take care of the day-to-day little thingies. And if he's in position, he will do that. But very often it's up to us to put them in their place, in a position where they can be kings, prophets, and priests in our house. So release them from that thing. It's good. He needs to help and he can do things, but it's not a 50-50. And I know the reality is that most of you've got an outside job. You don't sit at home doing everything. But just decide what's most important and what can just wait. Even if it have to wait for years, it's also fine. Somewhere along the line, you will be able to pick it up. Ladies, you need to work on your marriages. You know, these little ones going to be with you for 20 years. And then you've got another 30 with just him. If you drop it now, you will not be able to pick it up at some stage. Really, it's the reality. I mean, we've seen many, many divorces. And it comes from a place where the lives just do this. Go this side. And so you need to put certain things in place. And the last thing I want to do today is drop anything on you. I know you've got more than enough. But somewhere you need to create space for your marriage. You need dates. There's no other way to get around it. We were very fortunate. My mom moved to Pretoria when Vickers was born. And we had a Friday night date night for years. And I think it saved my marriage. In the chaos, I knew that at least Friday night we'll have a proper conversation. At least somewhere in this week we can sit down. And I know most of you might not have that, but you've got a neighbor. You've got someone sitting here next to you. Look after their kids and then they can look after your kids. Use your parents. We've got all the young people in the church, someone in your life group. Don't do it a once-off. Get proper structure because your husband needs it and you need it as well. We are body, soul, and spirit. We need to look after everything. We cannot just carry on giving, because that's what moms do. You just keep on giving. That's the whole day. So somewhere you need to fill up and invest in your marriage. It's like she said, sowing the seeds. You might not see the fruit, but I promise you in 20 years, you will see the fruit of that faithfulness. Your husband still wants to be number one priority in your life. And I know it's difficult because this little one demands food now and demands now. And your husband will stand back. But inside, he wants to be your number one priority. So somewhere in your life, just ask God to show you how to do that, how to make space for each other. I mean, you married him not to have this little one's primary. You wanted him. So make space for that. It's really, really important. I remember we joined the church about 20 years ago, and Nick Davis led the church at that stage. And one day Pete said he feels that he's not making it as a dad. And Nick looked at me and he said, you know what? Keep your marriage intact and you're 80% there. And that's the truth, you know. We sometimes want to do so much for our kids, but actually the best thing that you can do for your kids is just create a safe space, a happy home. That's all. That's all your children need. They don't have to go to all the activities, do everything everything is doing. They need a safe space and they will be perfect. I've shared it in another time. So my first two boys, we just moved to Pretoria East, so you do everything. I mean, you are just so busy. They horse riding, tennis lessons, everything. And when by the time Vickers arrived, there was just no space and no budget. It was just, sorry, Vickers, just come. And at the end, if I look at my three boys, there's no difference. There's no. I don't think Vickers can play tennis and horse riding. He can't, but it's okay. You can survive without it. But for the rest, he is actually... There's no difference. So you don't have to do all that thing. Just create a safe space. That same friend of mine who did the hair stuff, she did tea 4 o'clock every afternoon in the garden with the kids. That's more precious than doing all the other stuff. Then the next thing I want to talk about, I know you're busy. You can't spend an hour a day with God. But you need a quiet time. You need somewhere in between this busyness. And I don't talk about sitting down and reading chapters and chapters. I talk about while you are breastfeeding, don't scroll your phone. Put on worship music. Talk to God. Just tell him your heart. Tell him what is going on in your heart. Get a few verses, learn it by heart and put it up on your mirror when you brush your teeth that you can read it. Just those little things. You keep on giving, you need to fool yourself. There's just no way that you can raise a child believing in God and not getting fooled. And today we've got the technology. You can put up a preach while doing other things. You can just get yourself in an environment and fool yourself. Artie Kendall used to talk about the Holy Spirit as a dove, and he used to say that a dove will only be in a place where it's safe. So you need to create a place for the Holy Spirit to fill you so that you can have something to give. I can testify today, it's much easier raising your kids with God than without God. Having that Holy Spirit in you, that little still voice that in the first place calms you and gives you just peace and the freedom, but you need to allow him to speak into your life. And if there's never a quiet place, it's not going to happen. So ladies, it's just something you can't do without that. Once you get to a place where you invite God on a daily basis, because we leak. You just keep on giving. So you need to be full. So on a regular basis, that's not how you do it. And like I said, you don't have to spend hours. You can do 5 minutes here, 5 minutes here. But keep your relationship. Just as you need to keep your relationship with your husband, you need to keep your relationship with God. He gave you these little beautiful children. He wants you to raise them in his ways. How can you do it if you don't know him or you don't hear his voice? You need to do that. I don't know what's going on in your hearts. And you might sit here and feel like this is a total waste of time, or you might feel that you are fooled and you got something out of whatever. But I want to challenge you today. Just ask God to reveal to you what is in your heart, what is going on in your heart at the moment. We get wounded by life, by our husbands, sometimes by our children, sometimes just things that happen around us. And if your heart is wounded, it can lead to unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, offense, pride, unworthiness, fear, rebellion, hatred, anger. Maybe today you need to repent of something that sits in your heart. I'm going to pray for us, and I want you to just be quiet and just talk to God and ask him to show you Because if there's something sitting in your heart, you can't hear his voice. There's a blockage. There's something between you and God. Philippians 4 verse 8. Finally, brothers, after the whole book of Philippians, he said, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. And that's I want to encourage you today. Control your head. Think about these things. And if there's something that you've been struggling, and I mean, I'm sure some of you are really struggling with stuff, as I pray, just ask God to come and heal that wound and help you to release whatever is holding there. Just close your eyes. Lord, thank you that you care for us, that you love us, that you know each one of us by name, and that you sent each and every lady to this place this morning, Lord. You know what is in the hearts of everyone, what's going on in their lives. You know of the single moms that sits here. You know, Lord, and I pray this morning, Lord, that your healing balm, your blood will wash over them, and that you will make them free, and that you will make them whole. You know, Lord, what's going on, and I pray that this morning they will set their husbands free. They will set people free. They will let go of the anger and the worry and the anxiety that's in their hearts. They will put it at the cross, and that you will come today, Lord, and you will heal them. I pray, Lord, at every piece of brokenness, you will come and touch today. I pray, Lord, that you will fill each one of them with your Spirit, that you will come over them and you will make them full so that they can give them a give and give again. I pray, Lord, for power, just energy to do what they need to do. I pray, Lord, that they will look at their kids through your eyes and that they will love them and lay their lives down for them. Lord, give them wisdom in every situation. And will you bless these ladies? Ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Wendy.
I feel when Rindy speaks, it's like we feel and we see a wave breaking, but we're actually unaware of the masses of water behind the wave, the years and years of prayer, the years and years of being in the Word of God, the years and years of being on your knees, crying out for God's wisdom to fill you in raising your children and building your marriage. And I feel like today we feel this touch, but the impartation, that's what I've been praying for, is an impartation of the wall of water behind the breaking wave. Thank you, Rindy, for your incredible honesty and vulnerability and pouring into our lives. This morning, I had the privilege of connecting with old friends. When Rory and I took over leadership of a church in Durban many years ago, we started hosting this couple, Tom and Una Tapping. They would come in and speak at certain times into the life of the church, and we would have them in our home. And they probably only stayed with us about six times in those early years, but they made such an investment in our lives. And I remember when they stayed with us once, we had Mitchell and Nasia and these little toddlers, and the pressure of having guests on the apostolic team staying with us. And it was before we really realized that we're all just normal and we're all just plain plebs. And I remember them speaking into our children's lives, and they sat Mitchell and Nasir down and said, thank you for opening up your home and for sharing your bedrooms with us that we could stay here. And thank you that you share your mom and dad when they're teaching about God. And they started just investing into our children. And I remember them giving gifts to Mitchell and Nasir. And it taught me a whole different way, because today Nasir hasn't seen them for many, many years, and she came bounding up to them and said, oh, I'm so happy to see you. And there was an investment. Maybe six times they were in our home. We've obviously followed their lives, but there are people that are around you now that can make an investment into you. They can change how you see parenting. I remember they gave my kids a Bible, the story of Jesus, the thread through the Word of God, a kid's Bible that changed the way my kids read the Bible. So you can never take credit for your parenting if you realize there are people around you. And I want to point you to people like Rindy. It might not be Rindy, but you have Rindys in your life where in a calm, peaceful way, she's learned to have the dove settle on her and around her. The impartation can happen. Open your hearts to the people. Ask God to show you who are your Tom and Eunice, who are your Rindies, and God will show you incredible people who can carry the load with you. I still teach some of the things that I've learned from Tom and Eunice. I share it because it's become my own, and that can happen to you, so that one day your kids will run towards a Rindy and say, how are you? I'm so happy you're here. Thank you for just still loving us. And I believe that God has that for you. The picture of the dove, Rindy, I've heard it so many times. I've heard RT preaching it, but it's so true. It's what we need in our lives. And I'm going to pray for you that you actually see the doves, that you actually notice them when they just over there, but you want them here. I'm going to ask that doves start your nest right close to your home, so that you are reminded on a daily basis to actually absorb the peace of God. I know you're in busy stages, but you know, if you watch these little ones around us, while we've been talking today, the kids have been amazing. They've really been amazing. They can play peacefully. And one of the most important things you can teach them is to have times of peace. You need it, but they need it. Most kids grow up these days, they don't know how to have a peaceful time because they're so used to the stimulation that the world gives us. Teach your kids to have moments of peace. I love that, Rindy. We're going to go hard after that. And your challenge about our state of our hearts. Thank you for challenging us. Ladies, do business with the Lord. And I know sometimes circumstances are very unhelpful, and some of you are going through a lot. I'm very aware of that. But keep checking your hearts. Keep them soft. Keep forgiving. And it might be the same person that you have forgiven many times. Keep your hearts open to God's work. May the Father bless every single one of you. Please do not leave here. If you need to talk and pray, we are here to help you. We'll walk with you. We'll journey with you. Keep your heart soft. God, won't you touch these hearts? Won't you give them people around them that can journey with them and bless them and pour out your word and your wisdom and your faithfulness to them? Won't you send them doves? Won't you keep them close to the peace of God? May they find Jesus in all that they do. Touch their children. I pray that every child that's represented here by a mum, I pray that even now you would touch the children, touch the husbands. Jesus, I thank you that you are the husband to many. The single mums, or the ones that feel like they're doing it on their own, touch the men around these ladies and bless them in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Rindy. You're a gift to us. Thank you.